biggest expansion of abortion in our country since Roe versus Wade really is a tragedy, and on his part, it was a betrayal of historic proportions of principle.
But why is the language not strong enough for you? You know, I mean, it's also worth pointing out again that pro-choice advocates, they don't like the language either. They feel it's too restrictive,
and
that it's
going to
prevent people from getting abortions that are legal in this country. So they're not happy either. So that leaves a lot of people saying, you know, what's up with this, you know, with this situation, the way it's played out. Information is that if you accept any money from this program to cover your health insurance and you decide to have an abortion, you're going to have to write a separate check to a separate account that does not intermingle those monies that you're receiving from the government at all. What's wrong with that?
Well, exactly. We're calling that the abortion tax because it's an individual mandate from the federal government that you have absolutely no opportunity to get out of. If the federal government tells you you have to pay an abortion surcharge, whether or not you have any intention of getting an abortion, whether you're young or old, male or female, that's a tax. It's a mandate from the federal government. And Martha, the really sad thing is, our attorneys reviewed this executive order very carefully last night, and they looked at me and they said, Charmaine, this doesn't even begin to address the abortion issues. This abortion tax that you're talking about, the executive order does nothing to fix it.
I think a lot of people listen to that and they don't understand what you mean by an abortion tax, because, you know, the pro-choice people are upset because they're saying, you know, you can write a check and you can have this procedure if you want to. They're not happy with the language in this either. But that you have to keep it separate from anything that is, you know, any money that you're getting from the federal government. It has to be a separate pool of money that is independent of anything you're receiving from the government.
Well, here's the way it works, though, Martha. If you're working for a company that has insurance that covers abortion, you must pay into the abortion pool. If you're a pro-lifer, that's a mandate from the federal government. So what the executive order doesn't do is do anything about the abortion mandates that are in this bill. It's really a travesty. It's a complete farce in terms of, you know, addressing any of the fundamental underlying problems in the bill.
All right, so what are you and your group going to do about, you know, the elections and the people who caved, as you put it, and as others have put it, on this language?
Well, it's a really good question. Americans United for Life is a public interest law firm, and our attorneys have been very busy reviewing the executive order. We released analysis last night, and today we are offering help to any state across the country that wants to opt out of these abortion provisions. Our attorneys are standing ready, and we've got help on the way with legislative language that enables them to opt out of the federal mandates that are contained in this bill.
All right, Charmaine, thank you for being with us today.
Good day. Thank you, Martha.
But about 12 minutes now before the hour, the health care battle is not over. If you ask about 37 different states, have a laundry list of lawmakers and state governments plan to block that law. We'll check in on that. And check out this. They thought the worst would hit over the weekend. Well, they thought wrong. What is in store now with the rising
This program is brought to you by ServiceNet.